The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
Where to begin? I do want to mention, some of you are aware of this, but I do want to mention I have a 4-pack of Brewers tickets to give away later in the show. I haven't quite figured out how we're going to do that. They are for a weekday game. It's this coming Tuesday, the Diamondbacks at Miller Park. You know, one of these days, probably not anytime soon, one of these days they'll actually open the roof, and it'll be really cool. Well, not as cool. It's a good thing they have the roof. They desperately needed that roof these days. I enjoy that park no matter what. I really do. But I really love it when the roof is open. I don't know. I think it's still, even though it's not brand new anymore, still one of the finer facilities in Major League Baseball. I have been to Target Field. Have you, Matt? It's very nice. A friend of mine from Minnesota argues it's better than Miller Park. Well, they don't have a roof. And, of course, the one time she takes us to a game there, it's like a two-hour delay. They had to get it in. It was near the end of the season against the Indians, and the Indians were playing for a wild card. So they had to get it in. It feels more like a mall on the inside. It's nice, though. I don't know. I'm not impartial. I understand that. But my point is, weekday tickets usually aren't that hot a ticket. All Brewers tickets are hot these days. And if you can do a weekday game, be listening. We'll come up with a creative way to do it later in the show. I do want to start this hour. By the way, we have Senator Ron Johnson in the next hour. I do want to start this hour with a topic that everybody has talked about ad nauseum. We have talked about it a little bit. You've already guessed, if you don't already know, that it's Donald Sterling. Yesterday, the axe fell as the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver. It's hard not to just say NBA commissioner David Stern. You know, you just do that because he had been there for so long. Yeah, nice, nice way. Well, just getting settled in the office. I don't remember how long he's been commissioner now. And now he's dealing with this. He banned for life Donald Sterling yesterday for indefensible, obnoxious, repugnant, vile comments that he made, that he just doesn't like being around black people. I mean, it's not exactly what he said, but it's close enough. It was a private conversation recorded, probably violated California's two consent law. I don't know if people understand that. Wisconsin is a one-party consent state. I can record you without your knowledge. And I found something out during the Mike Ellis thing. And I didn't know this because I asked Wisconsin Broadcasters Association legal counsel. And Matt, I was going to issue a memo on this, and I never did. So the whole staff will know. When Mike Ellis was secretly recorded by James O'Keefe's Project Veritas, you can air that audio on the radio. If they had recorded a telephone conversation, you could not. That would violate FCC regulation. Remember the punking of Governor Walker? Some stations aired that, and they shouldn't have, without Governor Walker's consent. I did not. Others did. They immediately stopped. Now, why they make a distinction, I don't know. So, according to FCC, this can actually be aired, which a number of people have, but it likely violates California's two-party consent law. Both parties have to know they're being recorded. In Wisconsin, you don't. You can legally record anyone. Even a phone conversation. But if you do, I can't air it without that person's consent. I don't know how big of an issue that's going to become. So Commissioner Adam Silver ordered him out of his team's business and pushing to force him to sell over racist remarks that caused a firestorm since becoming public days ago. This is a little different than how I usually handle a phone topic. I usually focus in on one thing. I have several things I want to throw out there, and then if anyone wants to take a whack at any of them, we'll do that. If not, I've got plenty of things to talk about, and we'll move on to other things. I want to read a small piece. Actually, it's just a small editorial. I'm going to read the whole thing from the Wall Street Journal because I want to use it to launch my topic. In fact, Matt, if you can reach over, do we have today's Green Bay paper? Can you open it to the editorial page? There's an editorial cartoon. And if you can hand that to me, open that up and hand that to me, if we have today's paper in here. If we do, yeah, open it up. You'll know right away. You'll know the editorial cartoon to which I'm referring. This story illustrates what's wrong with race relations in America today. It should be the one on, if you get to the editorial page. Yeah, the editorial page. That's the one. That's the one. Now, first, before I share that, allow me to share this piece from the Wall Street Journal. Donald Sterling is a crank and a jerk. Cliven Bundy is a crank and a jerk. Somehow in the spring of 2014, it came to pass that two old men who hold crank views on race in America bubbled to the surface of the modern media cauldron. Now, a debate has restarted about the persistence and extent of racism in the U.S. Okay, that's an important line. These two morons, these two racists, and not just morons, they're repugnant racists, now has started restarted the debate about the persistence and extent of racism in America. It is good to push racism down when it rears up in such a public way, even if only by one man, whether a rancher in the backcountry or the owner of the L.A. Clippers basketball team. The U.S. has paid a heavy price to expunge such views from respectable society. Surely, though, it is possible to recognize that years after passage of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, 50 years to be exact, but this is the narrative that emerges every time modern media puts one of these stories in everyone's face for a week. Let me stop there. Yes. See, racism isn't dead because there's a guy there and there's a guy there. So then it's rampant. Why doesn't that happen when there's black racism? When a bunch of blacks beat up a white guy because he has a black girlfriend, why don't we say that racism in the black community is rampant and systemic? Why don't we do that? The widespread public revulsion over Donald Sterling's truly stupid, see, I'm not going to call them stupid because that, I think, almost gives a racist a pass. I don't know that he's stupid. He's repugnant and vile. Truly stupid private remarks and the punishment imposed on him by NBA Commissioner Adam Silver show that holding racist views will cause you to be drummed out of the public sphere. This was true 2 decades ago when Marge Schott made her ugly remarks about blacks and Jews as the managing partner of the Cincinnati Reds, by the way, but it's even more true today. She also was pushed out of owning the Major League Baseball team. The notion that racism is widespread serves a political purpose for some who, for cable ratings or election advantage, like to elide one man's comments with larger American ills. The impression can also be fed by the internet and social media, which for all of their viruses gives a megaphone to every kind, all of their virtues give a megaphone to every kind of social pathology, including racism. A guy telling his girlfriend not to bring Magic Johnson to Clippers game sounds like one of the nuts. Our guess is that 99% of Americans hate it as much as they are appalled by Donald Sterling. I would say it this way. They don't. I'm surprised they didn't make this connection. Donald Sterling is, in fact, a member of two 1% clubs. He's a billionaire. He's a billionaire, right? He must be. He's in the 1%. He's also in the 1% of Americans who hold these obnoxious, racist views. All right, is it more than 1%? It probably is. But you get the idea. But here's what the media immediately does. Now, there is an editorial cartoon that appears, and I don't know where it initially appeared. It's in the, I don't know where Wilkinson, the cartoonist, I don't know where they do their work normally, but it appeared in the Green Bay paper. It says, Clippers fans. There are four fans sitting in the seat at a Clippers game. Cliven Bundy, Sterling, Paula Dean, boy, they drag her out. By the way, I don't think, I'm not defending her use of that word, but I think it was slightly unfair compared to, say, Bundy or Sterling. But then, who is the fourth fan? And this is the problem. Chief Justice John Roberts, no need for affirmative action. To hold that in 2014 we don't need affirmative action puts the Supreme Court in the same category with Cliven Bundy and Donald Sterling. That's preposterous. But this is what the media does. This is why I'm railing against extremism in the Republican Party right now, because the media takes a couple of nuts and paints them as the norm. Holding the position that in 2014 we don't need to give a racial preference to any race isn't racism. But this is the problem. And this is where the Wall Street Journal has this exactly right. Exactly right. These are exceptions to the rule. How do we know that? Look what happens to them when they bubble to the surface. Now, there is some rank hypocrisy going on in this story. One from the NBA and the LA Clippers, they knew. They knew what a racist SOB this guy is, but they didn't deal with it until it bubbled to the top. Well, crap. Now we have to deal with this. That's the problem. Matt, who's filling in for Jason today, does our morning show in Green Bay. Imagine if I knew that Matt was a scathing racist. He's not, by the way. Yeah, can we sort of make that clear? But imagine if you were saying things in the hallway and I didn't do anything about it, and one day you finally slipped on the air. Well, I am shocked and outraged to learn that Matt holds these positions and we're going to deal with this forthrightly. Matt might want to say, how about all the other crap I said in the hallway and in the break room? And by the way, Matt does not say that. He doesn't have a racist bone in his body. I could have picked anybody else, but it just happens to be Matt sitting here. Trust me, he doesn't. Okay, that's rank hypocrisy. They knew about this guy. Two, there's another piece of rank hypocrisy going on. From the NAACP, who also knew what a racist he was. But you know what? They didn't express shock and outrage till this came public. You know why? Because he gave them money. And they were okay with taking a racist money. You know why? Because after all, it's money. Wall Street Journal editor Jason Riley slammed the NAACP for taking Donald Sterling's donations despite the Clippers owners' widely known issues with blacks in the past, claiming money is what's most important to them and that the broader civil rights movement has become an industry. Riley spoke with Wall Street Journal's Mary Kissel on the paper's online opinion journal about Sterling's privately recorded remarks in which he asks, you know the story. The NAACP was set to present, so listen to this, they were going to present him with his second Lifetime Achievement Award before the comments surfaced. Despite well-reported anti-discrimination lawsuits filed against Sterling, the civil rights group has taken money from the man for anywhere from 15 to 20 years. I don't think these comments are as surprising as the NAACP claims they are, Riley remarked, noting Sterling has been brought to court repeatedly for discriminating against blacks and Hispanics. The NBA knew that too, by the way. This is another example of how the civil rights movement has become an industry, he explained. You have groups like the NAACP, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, others, who basically go around the country shaking down corporations and individuals for money. This man gave them money, and that's what is most important to them, he accused. They claim to represent the interest of low-income, poor, underprivileged blacks. But this is more about lining their own pockets. Here is a question. Will the NAACP now give his money back? He won two Lifetime Achievement Awards from them. Well, one, they have now rescinded the second one. That's the second thing. As I said, I've just got a lot to throw against the wall on this. So if you're following along at home or work or in your car or wherever you are, the first one is this gets used by the left to paint America as racist when it's a couple of, I don't want to say stupid because I think that diminishes how repugnant this really is. Two, the rank hypocrisy going on. And three, Mark Cuban, I know we're getting close to a break, but slow down. Mark Cuban, owner of the NBA Dallas Mavericks, didn't defend Sterling and said, yeah, he shouldn't be part of the NBA, but should we be able to force him to sell the team? He's banned, he can't take part in any way, but he owns the team. Can you force someone or should you force someone to sell the team? Okay, we know he's racist now. You knew that. They did. But we know he's racist now, and he shouldn't be able to go anywhere near the NBA, but should we be able to make him divest himself of his property? And there's a slippery slope here. Yes, he's racist. It's abhorrent, revile, and pugnant. But do you have a right to be stupid in America? Cuban immediately attacked for those comments. So I've thrown three against the wall for you. You can take a swing at one, some, all, whatever. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. It's 923.